drinking in.
Touchdown, Detroit Lions! Cornbread, cornbread, cornbread.
Drink it in, man.
Touchdown, Detroit Lions! Touchdown, Detroit Lions!
Drink it in, drink it in, drink it in, man.
Detroit Kool-Aid, Detroit Kool-Aid drinkers. What is going on, everybody? It is Wednesday. I'm your host, Derek Oakley, here on the show. We got a very interesting game to talk about. We might talk about it in an interesting way. But we got the man here on the show. I mean, this guy comes on, love talking ball with him. He's always got great stats, great opinions, good takes. I mean, before I even introduce him, I mean, the guy's on Sports Illustrated All Lions, writing articles. He's on X's and Bros, both the podcast, the radio show. You know what it is.
Bro.
Little sound drop there for it. I mean, you can find this guy on the Huge radio show. I mean, this guy's out there talking NFL draft all day, every day. This guy's a Twitter statistical marvel, and I don't know if that's because the stats he's dropping all day or that's because the stat of him having 20,000 plus followers on Twitter, but he knows the Lions, he loves the Lions, and he comes on here and talks it up, and I try to serve him Detroit Kool-Aid. Logan Lamarandier is back on the show. Logan, how you doing this week?
Doing good. What an intro. Man, I
had a little something for you. And Logan, we don't mess around here on the pod, so we could promote all your stuff more. We'll do that. We're going to talk Lions. But again, as you know, like, we could just get on here and bumble through the game and talk about everything that everyone already saw. What fun is that? I mean, I thought we'd do this. What I do here on the show is I kind of rant and rave. I try to entertain. I talk crazy. I say crazy things to entertain the folks out there and to serve up that wonderful, delicious, tasting Detroit Kool-Aid.
Drink it in.
But you, my friend, I mean, you come on the show. You've got stats. You're very rational. You usually go 50-50. You tell me one way and then you say, but it could be the other way as well. But you serve up great knowledge. So what I thought we might do today is let me do my rants, but then let you come back with your rational takes to kind of talk me off the ledge, to tell the people why it's going to be okay, or maybe give a different perspective. Do you think you can let me rant and maybe you can be rational as you always are here on the show? Can we do that today and talk about the Steeler game?
That sounds pretty easy. So I just have to be my normal self.
Yes, and I'll be my normal self, which is crazy because, Logan, I got things to rant about today. I mean, I let's just get going. You wanted to get into this right now?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Let's get into my first rant. Jared Goff can't throw. It's like a prerequisite for being a quarterback is being able to throw the football. This guy can't throw a spiral to save his life. Logan, when I was young, my mom took me out to throw the football. It was a Nerf football. I threw such a tight spiral, I broke her hand one time. Jared Goff couldn't break an egg if he threw it against a brick wall the way he's throwing. I mean, he tried to throw a deep ball. The ball was 10 yards short, and when you go back and look, it's a 35 to 40 yard pass. I mean, this guy's inaccurate on short balls, maybe 1 to 2 yards past the line of scrimmage. He's throwing balls in the ground. Oh, my oblique. Oh, this. Oh, that. Jared Goff can't throw. He's a quarterback in the National Football League, and I can't figure out why. It's a problem. It's a big problem. Logan, give me a rational opinion on why this is happening.
Well, you know, I do agree with you a little bit there that it's been a struggle this year, and it seems like he's got progressively worse, which is the disappointing part. He hasn't gotten any better, but I think we always knew the struggles were there, and there was a reason that the Rams were like, hey, here's our former first overall quarterback and a couple first round draft picks for Matthew Stafford. I think that right there probably should have been the telltale sign that this guy's got some issues, and it's his accuracy that we thought he had, because he's always been pretty accurate, but it just really hasn't been there this year. He's had a lot of passes that haven't looked good, and that the deep ball is just non-existent, which is horrible. And the receivers don't help him any, but at the same time, it's just like the 3-yard checkdowns on 3rd and 7. And then even last week, the Lions were just like, hey, we're not even going to pass the ball on 3rd and long. We'll just run it and see what happens, because we feel like we have a better chance. So that's a major indictment on just, I guess, the coaching staff. Well, Dan Campbell probably specifically, as he was calling the plays, but just what they think in Jared Goff. It's getting pretty ugly out there.
He can't throw. He needs to learn how to throw quickly by this Cleveland game, or it's going to be problems. I mean, I think if you asked Brad Holmes in an honest moment right now about his big take and his whole, you got to go get Jared Goff. Oh, I love Jared Goff. Bring Jared Goff here and fix him in Detroit. He might tell you this.
It's a bad decision. Period, point blank. It was one of the dumbest decisions I ever made.
Oh my gosh. Jared Goff, go to like throwing school and learn how to throw a football with a spiral accurately to someone, preferably on the Detroit Lions. All right, there's my first rant, Logan. I'm nowhere near done. Let's get into the second one. TJ Hockenson. Like, this guy, he's non-existent. We took this guy in the top 10 of the NFL draft. Everyone's whooping him. Oh, he's the best tight. He's one of the top 5 tight ends of the league. Does this, he does that. You know what he was this week against the Pittsburgh Steelers? A goose egg, a double goose. No receptions, no yards, 1 target, 2 penalties. TJ Hockenson hasn't done much in a while. I mean, he's too busy working on his mustache. Maybe he's got a beard. Maybe he hasn't cut his hair in a couple years. Go out there and be like your boy George. Be like Travis. Be like these other ballers that you hang out with in Nashville or wherever you're at, and play tight end like a real ball player and actually make catches. Turn the ball upfield, maybe score a touchdown or two. I mean, this is weeks and weeks where this guy gets no stats, no target. Like, even when he gets stats, they're always late in the game. It don't matter. No big plays. I see no ceiling from TJ Hockenson, and it's driving me crazy over here. I mean, he gets so much love. Everyone says he's the best receiver on the team. We can't get him the football. He can't make a catch. He can't put up any stats in a horrible game. I mean, come on. You got to be better than that 88. We need more, and we need more now from Mr. Hockenson. Give me a rational thought of why he's incredible and why I'm missing it.
Well, he hasn't been incredible, but at the same time, it's, you look what teams have to worry about on the outside at receivers, and all teams really have to worry about is Hockenson, and they can pretty much man up everyone else, and that's all they do. And I think that's kind of, as the years gone on, you've seen just teams game plan towards Hockenson and just completely take him out. And it doesn't help that he only gets 1 target, but if you're only getting 1 target in a game in an extra quarter, basically 5 quarters of play, like that's not great. I think TJ Hockenson's the type of guy you should be game planning around, but at the same time, I just think defenses are doing the exact same thing and just daring anyone outside of Hockenson to beat him, and they just don't have the talent to do it. So it's like, well, what are you going to do? But it's been pretty disappointing this season with Hockenson. You thought he would, that year 3, where tight ends typically turn the corner. It's just been it's been tough for him. So I'm not down on him yet. If you want to go all the way back and talk about, you know, should the Lions have drafted a tight end in the top 10? I was never really too high on that. And this is the year that Hockenson really should have started doing something. So it's one bad game. It happens. But at the same time, there have been a few stinkers here the last few weeks, and that's not a good look. It's going to need to change. And I think it will, if he has other talent around him. Obviously, he's not that type of guy who's just going to be able to take over a game all by himself. And I don't know if there's many tight ends that could in this Lions offense, where if the defense only have to worry about one player, that's their main concern is taking him away. And that's TJ Hockenson for the Lions. I don't think there's many tight ends in the leagues that are going to be able to do that. So, it's just kind of a sucky situation overall for him.
Logan, let me calm down for a second. Let me ask you this. Mr. Hockenson, can you name me maybe two big, like, explosive, dynamic-type football plays from this guy in the time in Detroit? I'd love to know.
Week one of his rookie year was
exactly was the big one. That was his game. The first game was his game. Other than that, it's a bunch of dinks and dunks, a few touchdowns. I mean, I never seen the guy catch a seam ball in my life. He just catches these 6-yard hitches and falls down or runs out of bounds. That first game against Arizona was the one. Other than that, it's like I'm getting like again. I like the player. I always try to stand up for him here on the show. But, I mean, you went down all the reasons why it hasn't been good for this game. But like you said, it's been 2, 3, 4 games of just no production. The other games where people are like, oh, he balled out. What, did he get like 6 grabs for 80 and no tugs? Yeah, that's not going to cut it on a team like this or when you're trying to say how great this guy is. And everyone's like, oh, wait till he gets a bunch of people around. Wait till he has a good quarterback. Wait till all this happens. It's like, how about you just be good right now? How about the team not only force feed you, but you make them do that because you just get open all day. And then in the red zone, no one can handle you. It seems like everyone's handling you all the time, every week. And it's got to stop. This guy has to. I said I was going to calm down. Like, he just has to be better, so much better. And a double goose with 2 penalties, one that costs us at the end of the game, is not going to cut it.
Yeah, I mean, he did have 10 receptions a couple weeks ago, but again, that was in a blowout loss that didn't mean all that much. But
dink and dunks.
I don't know. It might be a little bit of recency bias too, you know, with the 0 receptions last game. But it's not easy to be him. I don't blame him, but I will say for him to be in that elite tier, he has to be a little bit better running after the catch and making more contested catches because I would like to see more of that out of him because that's what the elite tight ends do. And to get into that elite category, yeah, he's really got to come down with some more difficult catches and also being just more of a threat with the ball in his hands instead of getting tackled after the first guy gets to him.
Very, very rational thoughts, Logan. Very well done. I might be overreacting a little bit because he went double donuts on me, but gosh, this guy's got to play better. Every week I watch Travis Kelce just walk around on the football field, but nobody can guard him. He runs about 25% speed. He's always open. He catches everything. After he catches it, he just runs around people like they're caught in quicksand. I mean, I just want, you know, some modicum of that from Mr. T.J. Kind of what you're telling me is Jared Goff can't throw, and that's why TJ Hockenson absolutely has this every week.
No chance, so that's what
you got. I'm sorry, Mr. Hockenson, you got that because Goff can't throw. Okay, Logan, I got one more for a commercial break. We got a little bit of an intense segment here. I appreciate you letting me rant. You're talking great to the people. You're giving those rational thoughts. Here's my third one. Can we stop talking about the weather? I mean, everyone's going on and on about this weather. It was light flurries. It was a little damp. I mean, you're telling me that weather, it was so bad that you couldn't throw. Oh, wait, Jared Goff can't throw. It doesn't matter if you're inside, outside. It doesn't matter if the weather's sunny, rainy, windy, or snowy. He can't throw. So I don't want to hear about the weather. I've seen teams play through just everything, a lot worse. The Lions played in 15 feet of snow, and they were able to push the ball around. They weren't sitting there running it like it was the 1940s out there playing football. That weather wasn't that bad. I don't care if you're outside. I don't care if it's rainy. I don't care if there's a little snow on the ground. You got to be able to play better than that. You have to be able to throw better than that, and you can't go in turtle shell because it's a little wet out. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, the Lions did run the ball well. That was – and also made DeAndre Swift a true bell cow for the first time ever, pretty much. They just relied on him so much. It was good to see. And, you know, I've been critical of Swift's running abilities, you know, running through the tackles. But you did see a little bit more break tackle ability, and I like that out of him. But yeah, the weather, you know what you're going to get this time of year, especially, yes, the Lions play in a dome, but this time of year, you're going to start having to deal with weather, and the teams that are built for that typically do the best in the postseason, because whenever they run into that type of weather, those are the ones who do the best. It's the ones who are the toughest, the one that can move the lines and control the ball and throw it when they need to. But there's no excuse in the NFL for Jared Goff's performance last week. That was just, it was bad. The injury, if it was truly that bad, I don't think he should have really been in. But it's, yeah, maybe you were hearing the weather aspect of things a little bit more than I was. I didn't really think everyone was talking about that much, but it sounds like you thought that was a big deal, huh?
That's all 16 said at the game. Oh, it was wet. Oh, Dan Campbell. Oh, man, the weather was the real reason we had to, like, dumb it down, or we couldn't do this, we couldn't do that. It wasn't. That's a normal November day in Pittsburgh, everybody. Stop whining about the weather and go play and go win. Go win that game. All right, Logan, I kind of lied to you. I said that was the last rant. That's the last rant before the commercial break. We're going to take a quick pause for our sponsors, and maybe fortunate for the people listening, unfortunate for you, I got a lot more left in the tank for the back half of the show. So you think you could put up with me for another segment?
Keep going. Keep letting it out.
All right, everybody, we got to get our great sponsors in here. Please go check them out. We come back. I got more rants, and Logan's got more rational, just well-calculated thinking here on the Detroit Kool-Aid Cast. Everybody, we'll be right back.
It's only a kick. A jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, everybody. This goes out to my fantasy football fans out there. Now, you probably heard about Reality Sports Online, the most powerful fantasy sports platform where owners can build and manage their fantasy team like a real NFL general manager. But the question is, have you tried it? I mean, we're talking free agency, multi-year contracts, rookie drafts, multi-team trades. You could put franchise tags on guys. It's as close as you're going to get to being an NFL GM. But do you think it sounds complicated? It's not. I'm here to tell you it's the best thing about Reality Sports Online is it's just more fun than your normal fantasy league, but it doesn't take barely any more time. After all this, are you still not sure? I mean, come on now. You can test your general manager skills by going over to Reality Sports Online, call it RSO. Please go check out realitysportsonline.com right now. Now.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, Detroit Kool-Aid drinkers. Like, sometimes when I come back from the break, I'm like, all right, I've calmed down. Like, I haven't calmed down at all. I got a lot more rants in me. Logan's got a lot more rational opinions. But before we get rolling, you got to go check out realitysportsonline.com. I've seen some people on Twitter saying, oh, I got to start my own pod. I want to do this. I want to do that. If you want to do it, you got to go to Anchor. ANCHOR.FM. Go check them out. That's your way to get you rolling on a pod. You got to be consistent. You got to bring it every week. You got to entertain. That's what we're trying to do here on the Detroit Kool-Aid Cast. And Logan's a tremendous guest. And you got to go check out Logan Lamorandier. You got to find him on Twitter. You got to check out his articles. Everything he's putting out there. Please go do that. Logan, you got any comments, any things off the top before I get ranting and raving again?
No, you've covered it well. I got nothing left. I just want to hear more of these rants here.
All right. Well, since you want it, I mean, I guess I'll give the people, you got to give the people what they want. And here's the thing. Dan freaking Campbell, This guy's doing all he can, man. This guy, he's pulling out trick plays left, right, and center against the LA Rams. This man is crying. He's so upset that we continue to lose. This guy ripped the green dot, the microphone from Anthony Lynn and said, forget it. I'm calling plays. I've seen enough. I got to talk to my quarterback. I've seen absolutely enough of this. I mean, Dan Campbell's never done this in his life. He's never been an OC. This guy's never called a play. But he's like, I have to fix Jared Goff because nobody else can. Dan Campbell has tried everything. He's tried every speech, every motivating tactic. He's done what he can. He's poured his heart out. He's had it ripped out in losses. I mean, I feel like this guy, for just a meat and potatoes football guy, is showing a lot of leadership and a lot of great things, and he can't get the results he wants, which is a W. No matter what he does, they can't get over the hump. They can't win. They're out there playing guys that were at the bowling alley last week. They got guys that are just off the scrap heap. They're fighting hard. He's got them all rowing in one direction. He can't get a dubski, and Dan freaking Campbell is doing everything he freaking can, and I love it. What do you think?
Well, first off, I do think it's kind of odd that he's calling plays. I feel like it's one of those things where he's like, I'm head coach now. I can do whatever I want. I'm going to call the plays, even though I've never done it before. So I think that's a little odd, and especially too, because Anthony Lynn, he hasn't been great, but I've actually been somewhat impressed just with creativity and things that he's had. And then, like, when Campbell was calling plays, it was, yeah, definitely seemed more meat potatoes. It's like, well, if you wanted Anthony Lynn just to be more bland, it's like, yeah, you can, I feel like you should be able to call that game too. So I do think it's a little odd that Dan Campbell, former tight ends coach, now head coach, is also going to be like, hey, I'm an offensive coordinator now too. I don't get it.
All right, well, I kind of teed you up on that one to tee up a follow-up rant, and that's this. Everybody's going to say what you just said, and here's the thing. Dan Campbell, he's just absolutely had enough of this.
He's had enough of that
He's tired of it. He wants to win, so he's like, you can say he's never called plays, he's never done anything. We tore it up on the ground with Dan Campbell on the headset. I mean, we weren't doing that before. He literally, this will just tie my whole rant together. Dan freaking Campbell is like, Jared Goff can't throw. TJ Hockenson isn't doing what I need him to do, and he's a tight end. So I need him to step up. So what's he going to do? He's going to put himself on the microphone and get in Jared Goff's ear and tell him to do this.
We're going to bite a kneecap off. We're going to smile at you. We're going to take your other kneecap. We're going to smile at you. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. We're going to be the last one standing. All right?
Somebody has to have some guts on this team. And I feel like Dan Campbell's showing leadership. He's not scared. He'll grab the mic. He's never done. It doesn't matter. I'll get it done. He was calm on the headset, said Jared Goff. He did well, I thought. And he's just trying one other gimmick, one other thing, one other tactic to try to get a W. It didn't happen, but I like the moxie. I feel like he'll continue to do whatever it takes to try to get his team over the hump. And here's the thing. Here's the other rant. Like, you act like, oh, he overpowered Anthony Lynn. You don't think Anthony Lynn's not sitting up in the air-conditioned, comfortable skybox, telling him what he can and can't do, or telling him what looks good, what doesn't? He's doing all the things he was doing. He's literally just not saying the play to the quarterback. And every once in a while, now Dan Campbell doesn't have to like call up to say, hey, what are you doing? He can just say, no, we're not running that, and just run whatever he wants as the head coach. So I absolutely love it. I got no problems with it. I thought it was awesome the way he was just sitting over there with the play sheet calling things. Never done it in his life. I thought it was good. Other than the quarterback can't throw.
Yeah, he made sure the quarterback didn't throw it deep that game too, but yeah, who knows? You can't. It was the weather, right? It was the weather's fault.
Oh yeah, that's the third thing. So the quarterback,
obviously Anthony Lynn, yeah.
Go ahead. Oh my god.
I mean, obviously, like you said, I think Anthony Lynn is still talking to Dan Campbell probably plenty, and they can still talk, and now it's just Dan Campbell technically calling the plays, and you know, maybe getting a little extra in there. Probably, I feel like Campbell probably took time to have like words of encouragement for Goff after every play call.
Or he said, like, after his 15, you know, wobbly throws, he just said, come on, 16.
You've had enough of that.
Throw a spiral for once. So his quarterback can't throw. His tight end, which Dan freaking Campbell takes a lot of freaking pride in tight ends, can't make a play. Everyone's bitching about the weather, and Dan Campbell's like, come on, man, I play in this all day, every day. I wouldn't even wear my shirt if I could get out there. And so he grabbed the headset. He made some calls. I thought it was fun. It was moxie, trying to do everything he can. All right, so that's my Campbell rant. Can we move on? I got more.
Oh, I guess. What do we got next?
Santoso, the kicker. This guy, are you kidding? We have an NFL kicker here. It's bad enough that we have a quarterback that can't throw. Now we have a kicker that can't kick. This guy, his career high is 35 yards. 35 yards. I think local Amerindier can go boot it from 40. I'm pretty sure. I mean, this guy missed an extra point. You should be fired and kicked out of the league if you do that, in my opinion. I don't want to hear about the weather. I don't want to hear about anything else. And another reason this guy should have been kicked out way before he put the jersey on. Look at this guy's mustache. It's embarrassing. You can't have a guy look like that that plays on your team. Are you kidding me? I mean, he didn't look like he even wanted to make it. I mean, I don't even know. I mean, it's almost like, I mean, we play this gimmick on the show. I mean, there's got to be a conspiracy there. I mean, this guy walked out like he had something on the line, or maybe he didn't even want to be in Detroit. I mean, he kicked this like, I don't even know. It looked like a four-year-old at soccer practice the way he attacked this football. Like, this thing was never going to be good, regardless of the weather, regardless of if he actually had a leg or no mustache. It was never going in. So there's got to be some kind of conspiracy theory with this guy. And my conspiracy theory, or the reality, is he sucks. He's horrible. So it was just a weak effort on so many levels. And you have to make a 48-yard game winner in marginally bad weather. And this guy it wasn't even close. He didn't have a chance. So Santoso, what are they doing? 97-1. Chump of the week. The guy's already has his bags packed. He's heading to who knows where to do who knows what. This was an embarrassment to the kicking profession. What Pat McAfee says for the brand. Yeah, that wasn't for the brand. And that doesn't let people know that kickers are people too. Because Santoso, I mean, I don't know what that was.
Yeah, it was bad, real bad. That last kick that could have won him the game. It was like right when he kicked it, or like, did he even get it? Like, is it going to go 10 feet off the ground? It's like not that long of a field goal. And it's like wide right and a good 5-10 feet short of the uprights. And it's not even a
swing your leg, man.
And gosh. Santoso actually has a decent leg, though. That's the annoying part, is he has a decent leg when he makes contact, but the name of the game in the NFL is a kicker. Is you have to be able to be consistency. And obviously Santoso just doesn't have that, but it is a little comical every time I see him. It's hard not to just chuckle at that stash that he has. It's too perfect. If I could grow that, I'd probably grow one like that too, though. I'm not going to lie.
What was worse, the stash or the kick? I mean, I think it's a tie. And if you go back and look at the picture,
keep the stash.
No, the kick was horrible. The stash is really horrible. And go back and look at a picture of Santoso. You want to talk about horrible. Look at the jersey this dude's wearing. It's like he's got the sleeves going down to his elbows, like he bought a three sizes too big at Dunham Sports before the game. I mean, just chalk it up. Three absolute embarrassments. You're out. You're done, Santoso. You're done. Goodbye. All right. Did I say his mustache and the kick and his jersey were maybe like a tie for the worst? I think I did. So, Logan, here's my last rant. Here's my last rant. I can't talk about his jersey all day. I want to talk about a tie. A freaking tie. I mean, this was a hard-fought battle. We ran the ball really well, which you very rationally, very calmly, very articulately stated earlier. This was in Pittsburgh in November against one of the storied, and oh yes, one of the favored NFL franchises in the league. This is one of the worst refs in football that we had out there. I mean, he's one of the worst refs because he thinks that everyone pays to watch him throw flags. He doesn't realize there's a football game going on. And he's just an annoying looking human being. We got a tie, and then we had like 11 yards passing deep into the first half. 11. Again, I said you could kick a 40-yarder. I could go out there and throw for 11, I'm pretty sure. We created 3 turnovers. Finally, I call every week, hey, if we win the turnover battle, we'll win. If we get turnovers, we might actually win a game. We created 3 awesome turnovers, and you end up with a tie. A tie. That isn't a win. It's not a loss. It's a tie. It's a freaking tie. With the 2 teams had the same amount of points at the end. No one won. No one lost. You can't have ties. What is this? Like, this is European football? That's where they have ties. 0-0. Or nil-nil. Sorry. 1-1. This is that kind of garbage. This is the National Football League. We can't have a tie. Who wants a tie? Who feels good about a tie at the end? Oh, wait. Maybe we'll take it because we hadn't had a win all year, and we lost every game. So maybe we'll take a tie. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I was just about to say, I was like, hey, I'd take a tie. It preserves our draft stock, and it breaks our losing streak. I was pretty happy about it. And honestly, both these teams, I felt like they deserved a tie. Without, like, neither team I felt like wanted to win. It was horrible. So the ties, I do think, are kind of ridiculous. And maybe the worst part about it is I just hate how it impacts the standings. And having to have that extra number at the end of their record that's like 08-1. It's just annoying, really. I think that's my biggest thing about it. But it's weird that a football game can end in a tie because it just throws everything off. And that's, again, that's my biggest pain point with the tie.
Logan, let's be real. A tie is a Father's Day gift. A tie is something you should do with a knot. A tie isn't something you should do after beating yourself up for 5 quarters of football in, hold up, wait for it, horrible, just unplayable conditions in Pittsburgh. You can't end in a tie. But, as everyone keeps saying, the silver lining, again, the Lions still need to win football games, but towards the end of this game, I literally uttered, man, I'll take a tie at this point. Like, I didn't want one. I think they're stupid, but I wanted one because I was so frustrated towards the end of this game. And of all people, I mean, gosh, this is not a separate rant, but Will Harris makes a play to create a fumble when we were dead in the water, and Trey Flowers, 2 bums on this team that haven't made many plays, jumps on it, and we end up getting a tie, saving our bacon multiple times in Pittsburgh, and also not doing what T.J. Hockenson, the guy that caught no passes, had 1 target, hasn't done much this year of any impact, says that we got to do, which is take a game. When are you going to take a game? When are you going to sit up there and say, man, we're not going to just boot a field goal. We're going to go for it. We're going to win this. We're going to go and actually make a play, make a catch, run after catch, and win. When's that going to happen, Logan? Soon, I hope.
You would think. I mean, not many people thought the Lions would be in this game. And with Ben Roethlisberger bringing out, obviously it changes the whole dynamic of everything. But at the same time, even without Roethlisberger, I wasn't betting on the Lions to win. So it did surprise me a little bit. They played better than I thought they were. And that seems to be how the year's going, where the Lions play better against the teams you don't really expect them to be in the games for. And then the games like the Bengals, like the Eagles, were like, hey, if maybe the Lions have a chance, they just get killed. So every week I go into it just with a completely open mind. I'm like, you know what? We'll see what today brings. As long as I'm entertained, I'm happy. And that's what it's been. It's been an entertaining season, despite it being absolutely awful at the same time.
All right. Well, Logan, I want to say this, man. I want to say a thank you to you. I kind of told you I was going to do a couple rants here on the show. I asked if you'd give your rational thoughts. So you got just to be you. I got to just kind of be fun and just go crazy here. Hopefully everybody was, as you just put it, somewhat entertained by those opinions, those takes. Again, it's mostly for not only entertainment value, but to make people laugh and not do the same old boring lion show that you hear everywhere else around this town about how horrible they are. Hey, let's start in the first quarter and talk about all the touchdowns. I mean, again, we all watch the game, right? So, Logan, I want to say a personal thank you for letting me rant, for letting me go crazy, for letting me stir it up, and for you just being you, man, talking rational, having good opinions, and talking ball here on the show.
Yeah, you made my life pretty easy. I just had to be myself, and that's typically what I am. It's tough to break character.
Oh, man. Well, like I said, a fun, different show. Let's go ahead and get up out of here, but we can't do that before we tell people, go find L. Lamarandier on Twitter. Go check out your articles. Anything else I missed on some of the plugs I gave you, all the stuff you're doing out there?
No, you're doing a better job than I could describe everything, so I appreciate it, man.
We are going to come back, and Logan's going to jump back on for the Friday show, and I'm going to be a normal human being. We're going to preview the Cleveland Browns game. We are going to talk some NFL draft, which everybody knows is my favorite, and have fun on that show as well. So everybody, you know what you got to do. It's simply this. Drink that Detroit Kool-Aid.
Drink it in, man.
Side of cornbread.
Cornbread!
Make it a double.
Cornbread!
And check us on Friday, right here, on the Detroit Kool-Aid cast. Okay, everybody. We're out.
Pack the bag, start the plane. This game is over. It is over. What a comeback by the Lions.
Drink it in, man.